Let's go to hour number three. So I erred in one thing. You know, if you're looking for me to take back or walk back my take on the PGA versus the LIV Tour, I'm not doing that. I erred in that I thought Christian Walker was at the top of the hour, but he's not. He's coming up next segment. We did talk about that top story. And to me, again, it is shocking and stunning, but not surprising. Roll out this morning and see this headline. This just in. PGA Tour merging with the LIV Tour. They hate each other. They were still at each other. Even this past weekend, Hefty was going at Rory on Twitter.
Hefty.
Yet, we wake up on Tuesday morning and they're in bed together. It's all good. We covered this already, but I know to restate takes, reset things. I've gone pretty hard on this. A lot of you have your own agendas. You think that I have an agenda. You think this is what represents everything that's wrong with, quote, liberal CBS. And the reason you hate my guts is you know that I would take that money. And I'm lying if I say to you that I wouldn't take that money. I didn't entertain any of that. And by the way, you don't know me. You don't know what I would do. You don't know anybody except the one you're looking at in the mirror. I pointed out to the hypocrisy of both sides. That's what I pointed out. Both sides are hypocrites. The PGA, hypocrites. LIV, hypocrites. So, if you want to say to me, yeah, but Rome, why is it a terrible thing? We can get into the moral high ground. If you want to talk about it from a golf standpoint, it's not a terrible thing. From a golf standpoint, it's actually a pretty good thing. Because now we've got the world's best all on the same page once again, theoretically, come next year. Under the same umbrella. And maybe the PGA will even adopt some of those goofy little things the LIV Tour did. Whatever they did. Because it was pretty hard to find, wasn't it? Anyway, if you want to get into that, we can. I just hit on game two of the Stanley Cup Final. I want to go to yet even another topic right now. And I can't believe that this also needs to be said yet again, but I'm going to say it. And you know what's even more incredible to me? I bet it's not the last time I say it. It's incredible that I even have to say this today. And no pun intended, I'd be willing to bet that this is not the last time I say this. And I can't believe I'm saying it right now. Yet I would bet a large sum of money that I'm going to say it again sooner than later. But here's the statement. You cannot bet. If you're in the NFL, you cannot bet on the NFL. If you're in the NFL, you can bet other sports, but you cannot bet from your own facility. If you're in the NFL, the one thing you really cannot do is bet on your own team from your own facility. Am I clear on that? If you play in the NFL, you cannot bet on your own team from your own facility. That is the one thing you cannot do. They're not saying you can't bet. You can. You can bet on other sports from somewhere outside the facility. But the one thing you absolutely positively cannot do is bet on your own team from your own workplace. I know what you're thinking. Rome, why are you wasting time talking about something that's stupid? Everybody knows that. To which I would respond, apparently, everybody doesn't know that. Incredibly, there are still active NFL players who don't know that rule. There are still active NFL players who are not only betting on the NFL, they're betting on their own team, and they're doing it from their own facility. Guys like Colts corner Isaiah Rodgers. Rodgers is under NFL investigation right now for violating the league's gambling policy. Although I'm not sure how much more there is to actually investigate. He's essentially come out and admitted that he did do what has been reported. What was rumored. And what was rumored is what I just said. He didn't just place bets in the facility, which you cannot do, but he bet on football, which you cannot do, and he bet on his own team. Doink, doink, doink. That's three for him. Now, I would love to tell you that, man, you know what? It's really not this dude's fault. Somehow you got to blame the league for this. Or somehow you got to blame the team for this. Or somehow it's not his fault because the rules are so stupid. Or he's getting a raw deal here. He's getting jammed. But he's not. He just broke the most obvious rule ever. He bet on his own team in his own facility as an active player. And he's not even pushing back. Here's his statement from last night, and I quote, "Addressing the current reports, I want to take full responsibility for my actions. I know I've made mistakes, and I am willing to do whatever it takes to repair the situation. The last thing I ever wanted to do was to be a distraction to the Colts organization, my coaches, and my teammates. I've let people down that I care about. I made an error in judgment, and I'm sure going to work hard to make sure that those mistakes are rectified through this process. It's an honor to play in the NFL, and I've never taken that lightly. I am very sorry for all of this." End of quote. As statements go, that's good, I guess. That's not one of those, "I'm sorry if I offended anybody," or "I'm sorry that I find myself in this situation." He sounds genuinely contrite. He sounds genuinely sorry. So as statements go, I guess that's pretty good. Credit for a good statement, I guess. But here's what a good statement is worth. Nothing. Nothing. Less than nothing. Here's what Isaiah Rogers' contract was set to be worth next year. $2.7 million. Good statement, worth nothing. Try and jam a good statement into an ATM machine. Try to withdraw a good statement from a bank and then turn that into currency. On the other side, try to buy a car with a, quote, good statement. Try to buy a phone with a good statement. You know what? You could buy a good car and a good phone with $2.7 million, which is what he was set to make. That's what he was supposed to collect. That's not what he's going to end up collecting. In fact, if you look at precedent, if you look at Calvin Ridley, the fact that he apparently bet not only on the NFL, but on his own team, and not only on his own team, but from his own facility, this dude's going to be lucky to even see a cent this year. And, I mean, to make it even worse, reportedly he was making $25 to $50 bets every time he made one of those bets, and a couple of three-figure bets. This dude's throwing down bets and trying to get down and get action at $25 and $50 a throw. And he was going to risk that for $2.7 mil and maybe even more if he bet his entire career. I don't know. Time will tell. It would look like he's going to lose a year, right? You know, some of the Lions that lost six games were not betting on the NFL, but were betting from the facility. This guy could lose an entire year. I'd be surprised if he didn't. That's got to be one of the stupidest bets ever. Even if he won every one of those bets. I always say, you bet what you can afford to lose. Notice I'm not saying don't bet. I bet. I'd be a hypocrite if I said you don't bet. Oh, I bet. I do bet. But you know why? Not because I can, but because I'm allowed to. There's no policy that says, hey, Rome, you're not allowed to bet from the CBS Sports Network studio where you do your show. I am allowed to bet. I do. I own it. Hell, just on the smack off. I don't bet on that. I always say, though, bet. Go ahead and bet. Have fun. But do not gamble what you can't afford to lose. That's not this. That is not this. Because essentially, he bet an entire season of his career. And maybe the rest of his career. Every time he made one of those stupid little bets. I mean, I like action as much as the next guy, but not, I wouldn't put my annual salary up against it. Like, I'm thinking about game three of the NBA Finals. But if somebody were to say to me, hey, Rome, here's the thing. You can't bet the NBA Finals. You can't bet game three. Or you're looking at a year-long suspension. Hey, man, I know how hard I have to work to make this money. I'm not betting game three. If I know that's the rule. And if you could say to me, well, maybe he didn't know the rule. That's as stupid as the bet itself. You didn't know the rule. How could you not know the rule? How could you not think to yourself, I'm a member of the Colts. Is it okay if I bet on the Colts? And can I get down from my computer at work? Even if you didn't know, and I don't accept that he didn't know, you'd have to be the dumbest guy ever not to know. Even if he didn't know, it would be the easiest thing ever to find out. You could find out in 3 seconds. You could ask anybody you know, anybody who works there. You could ask your agent. You could ask a teammate. You could ask a coach. You could go online. So ignorance is not an excuse. Because the harsh truth is this. If you're an Indianapolis Colt who does not understand that as an Indianapolis Colt, you cannot bet on the Indianapolis Colts, then you might be too dumb to be an Indianapolis Colt. And I would say that about any pro athlete at this point. And again, God, do not come in here and talk about the hypocrisy of the NFL taking all that gambling money. I know this. I get it. I understand it. They're greedy. Money, again. It's all about the money, again. But there are rules. There are rules. Learn the rules. They're really obvious rules. These are not hard rules. My God, if you can read an NFL playbook, you can understand these rules. If you can play in an NFL scheme and learn all the plays, you can learn these rules in 3 seconds flat. Why not bring your phone with you into the game? Bring your phone onto the field. And then, in the huddle, make in-game bets. Yeah, well, yeah, but Rome, is it okay if I do it on the road? I'm confused, Rome. You're saying I can't bet on the NFL, and I can't bet on my own team, and I can't do it in the facility. However, if I play for the Colts and we play the Titans, can I bring my phone on the field and in-game, because I have a good feel for things in-game, can I get down in the huddle? The answer is still no. Why? 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 I'm not in the facility. And by the way, I really feel strongly about the Anthony Richardson over-rushing. I see what's going on here. The answer is still no. So the league's got no choice. They've got to bring the LT hammer down every single time an incident like this comes up. Obviously. And don't say to me, yeah, Rome, but the league makes so much money off gambling. I know. I know this. We all know this. That's why they need these rules. Because they're trying to protect their business. They want it both ways. They want to have a viable product, and they want more money than God. And one way to get it is also through gambling. However, if the product is no longer viable and the public thinks the games are fixed because the players are in and they're throwing it to win their bets, then the product is no longer viable and the whole thing falls apart. And then all the gambling revenue and all the other revenue goes away too, because then the NFL is no better than the WWE because it's scripted. Right, Rome? Like the smack off. Oh my God. It's like I already hear you as I finish my thoughts. No, this is not hard. If you play in the... Make your choice. Play in the NFL or gamble on the NFL. You cannot do both. If you're a legendary gambler and you can make more money gambling on the NFL than playing in the NFL, by all means, quit the NFL and be a professional gambler. I'm guessing that's not the case for this dude, or he wouldn't have been gambling 25 to 50 bucks at a time. How are a series of $25 to $50 bets worth a year of playing time? and $2.7 million. Again, I'm doing the math. It doesn't work for me. So he's going to get the book thrown at him. Just like Calvin Ridley did before him. And he's going to deserve it. Wonder what my guy Jim Irsay is thinking about this. I know the man loves any and all attention on his team. He can't love this. In fact, I think I know what he's thinking about this. He's thinking about exactly what he's going to say to Isaiah Rodgers.
Hello, hello.
That's what he's thinking about saying to Isaiah.
Just not if you can hear me.
Isaiah, is there anybody home? Hello, hello, hello. You play in the NFL. Is there anybody in there? You can't be this stupid. $25 a game. Hello, hello. I don't care what the odds were. Oh, and a clone favorite. He didn't bet us to lose. Don't tell me what the hook was. I don't care about that half point. I got to get out. Christian Walker joins me next. I can't believe I just did another segment on that. Just as I can't believe, I guarantee that won't be the last time I do that segment. I know I'll do that again. It's not a question of if, it's a matter of when. It will happen again. It will. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Wild day, right? I'm not wrong. It's been a wild day, starting with PGA merging with the LIV Tour. All right, as promised, we are talking some baseball right now. One of the best stories in Major League Baseball this year is the Arizona Diamondbacks. We are joined by first baseman for the D-backs. He is in his ninth Major League season overall. It is his seventh with the D-backs. He was originally a fourth-round pick by Baltimore in 2012. He won a Gold Glove last year. He's got 12 home runs this season, 36 RBI after getting a career-high 36 bombs last season. Christian Walker is my guest. Christian, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Jim. How are you?
Really good. Great to have you, Christian. Thanks so much. Hey, before we talk about the team and the year you're having, you missed Saturday's game against the Braves with food poisoning. You did come back on Sunday, and you went 1-for-4 as a DH. What did you eat, dude? And how are you feeling right now?
Honestly, I'm still in shambles a little bit. I feel like so there was a day game at home, played the day game. Me and two other players, Kyle Nelson and Jake McCarthy, snuck out and grabbed a dinner together after the day game in Scottsdale. Real good spot. We've been before. Place I frequented a lot, and just I think we got bad luck. And all at the same time, same day, we all came in throwing up and sick. And just when we thought we were getting in a good spot yesterday with a day off, woke up today with some funk again. So, but I mean, we're in a good spot. Definitely heading in the right direction.
Dude, that is wild. That is really, really, I mean, it's one of those things, but you certainly hope. That's not one of those things you hope for. So I appreciate you being honest about that. I mean, that's the opposite of a recovery, right? Waking up a few days later, like, damn, that thing's still there.
Yeah. I thought I was back to normal and, had some pretty normal food yesterday, but all things considered, we're good, man. We're here in Nashville, in Washington, coming up on a good series.
All right, so let me ask you about the series against the Braves. You took on the NL East leading Braves over the weekend. A lot of talk about how that might be a measuring stick for the D-backs. Atlanta takes 2 out of 3, but they were down to their last out in the ninth before they walked it off Sunday. Christian, like, I get there are no moral victories, but does it feel like that series was another indication that you guys can play with and compete with anybody in the bigs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, you said it perfect. There's not a moral victory there, but also I feel like we proved to ourselves that we needed to, as far as, you know, gaining some momentum and, you know, executing this middle stretch of the season. I feel like these are the games that matter. This middle ground where, you know, you're prepping for something later, but also, you know, when you gotta find that little extra motivation in May and June to, you know, make September count.
Christian Walker is joining us. You know, it's one thing to prove it to yourselves. I think it's also really key that you're proving it to the community, right? The series drew over 96,000 fans to Chase Field. That's the best attendance for a three-game series since 2019. So when you're out there, can you now feel that energy between the lines? And then how gratifying is it to see the fans buying in to what you're building?
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, as a player, too, like, you know, home field advantage is an interesting thing. It's like, yes, yeah, there's an angle to sleeping in your own bed and playing in a familiar park and the home schedule and all that. But, you know, for me, it's the crowd. It's the energy. It's when you score early and the, you know, the place is shaking and rocking and the other team has to answer. And when they don't, you know, it even gets louder. And, you know, when I think about home field advantage, for me, that's what I'm after. I'm after the energy and the edge that the crowd brings. And, you know, that was everything we needed out of them this past weekend, for sure.
Christian Walker joining us. Listen, I know there's a lot of baseball left, but we're into June now. So you're past the stage of saying that you're hot or you're off to a great start. With 35 wins, you're tied with the Dodgers and the Braves for the best record in the National League. So what's been the biggest difference this year compared to last year when the team was 14 games under 500?
Yeah, to be honest, man, it's hard to put my finger on exactly what it is. You know, even the last few years, obviously the record's been different and tough, but you know, there was a standard, there's a mindset every day. It's like, no matter what's going on, we're going to prepare for this game today the best we can, the hardest we can. And I think sticking true to those roots, and you know, now the, you know, like the younger guys have a year and they have 2 years, right? It isn't their first time experiencing and their first time working through the league. So I think that little experience takes the edge off for them. I think our older guys trust everything a little bit more. They trust themselves. They trust the younger guys. They know if we're doing things the right way and we're handling ourselves properly when nobody's looking. You know, those are the moments that matter in the game.
Christian Walker joining us. I can appreciate that. I want to ask you about one of the younger guys in a minute, but I want to ask you about your manager. You know, they pay me not to play favorites. I take that pretty seriously. I always have. That said, Torey Lovello has always been one of my favorite dudes. Like, I loved him as a player. He used to come on this show when he was a player. I love him as a manager. What's he like to play for? And then how much respect is there in the way he runs that clubhouse? How much respect is there from the team for Torey?
Yeah, a ton. Absolute ton. I mean, nothing but respect. The communication skills, yes, he's the manager, and yes, he's, you know, running the ship, and there's that respect and that angle, but also, you know, the line of communication and the personality is just there. You know, we truly feel the open door policy. If there's anything on a player's mind, we can go in and talk about it, and it gets settled out. It's a constructive conversation, and there's nothing but honesty. And, you know, as a player, that's exactly what we're looking for. Yeah, there's a lot on our plates with the games and all that, but it's easier for us to buy in when the communication's strong and we know what the thought process is, and that's exactly what Torey does. He keeps everybody in the loop. He trusts us. We trust him. It's a great mix. He's got incredible feel.
Yeah, Christian, what's interesting is things have changed so much. I mean, it's so different right now. And, like, a manager today has to deal with the players and then the advanced metrics groups and the front office and everybody else. But the one thing that's never changed, and I've done this a long, long time, I go back 30 years now, the one thing that's never changed is every single pro athlete I've ever spoken to has only asked one thing of either a coach or a manager. Man, just shoot me straight. Look me in the eye and just tell me the way things are so I can trust you. So I don't care how much things change. That's the one thing that never changes. You mentioned how the vets trust each other and the vets trust the younger guys. Let me ask you about outfielder Corbin Carroll. He's been electric. He's getting a lot of run as a potential rookie of the year. It seems to me if he keeps doing what he's doing, he damn well may run away with it. How much of a lift has he given you, both with his bat and his speed on the base pass?
Yeah, electric is a great word. It's exactly that, man. It's a great feeling knowing, and there's a lot of other guys on this team that check that box as far as, like, you know, the speed, the scrappy, the high baseball IQ, stuff like that. Like Corbin separates himself for sure with the results that he throws out there every night. And, you know, you can expect a certain quality of play when he's in the lineup every night. And I mean, that's just a tribute to his hard work and his consistency. But that role of somebody who maybe can show up to the field that night and their swing's not feeling great. But it doesn't matter because he can still use his tools to get on base twice and steal a base and get into scoring position and generate some, you know, some chaos, some havoc for the other team and get into scoring position and help the hitters behind him. You know, there's a certain damage control worst case scenario when you have guys like that who can show up and put, you know, almost an effort level worst case scenario out there. And, you know, obviously when you're talking about Corbin, you're not only talking about worst case scenario, his upside is incredible. And, getting to watch it, you know, first person every night is a lot of fun, but, you know, that type of role of, you know, even on the down days, it's really not that bad.
That is a great, great description. One last thought, and I appreciate the time. This has been a really fun interview. You know, you talked about the standard. You had a storied, storied college career. And South Carolina, where you played your college ball, is back in the Super Regionals. You won back-to-back College World Series titles while you were there. So I understand being in the major leagues is the ultimate. But is there any part of you that thinks back to those days and feels like, man, it just doesn't get much better than that? I mean, how much fun did you have playing college ball back at South Carolina?
Yeah, it's so much fun, man. It's such an interesting time in baseball where, you know, you're turning into a grown up and you're maturing in your body and your strength, and you know, you can hit balls out of the park and you can do different things with the baseball, but you know, you're still a kid, right? Like you're 18 to 20. It's so much fun, man. You're out there competing and out there for your brothers and your teammates, and I watch the college baseball now, and you know, especially the Gamecocks, have been following them. I still live in the area in the off season in South Carolina, and I do a lot of my training at the university. So I've built a little bit of a relationship with the players and the hitters, and you know, it's awesome. I'm so happy for them and their success, and you know, those guys work hard. It's a cool time in life, and you know, you try to explain it to them while they're there, but you know, it's one of those things where I feel like you truly don't appreciate it until it's over. So you know, you hope that they're, you know, they're harnessing all these memories and holding them tight.
So really quickly, what do they say to you when you come back? I think that's great that you go back and you work out there. How do they treat you? What do they say to you when you come back? Do they have lots of questions, or are they just kind of in their own world?
No, honestly, lots of questions. You know, obviously every hitter is different, and, you know, some guys are very confident in what they got. But, you know, when you see a guy in there working and, you know, they're not afraid to ask a question. The hitting guy there, you know, Monty Lee, he's been around for a while. He's great. He provides an interesting perspective. But you know, it's very much an all hands on deck kind of mentality there. When, you know, they'll ask me and I'll ask, you know, Monty, and there's a group of, you know, maybe three or four of us pro ball guys that all train there most days in the off season. So, you know, it's cool to bounce ideas off. And next thing you know, you've been sitting in the hitting, you know, in the tunnel talking for the last 2 hours. And, you know, it's just a very baseball-y, you know, environment, and it's cool.
I think that's so cool that you do that, and that's got to be so cool for them. He is a first baseman with the D-backs. He's in his ninth year overall, seventh with Arizona, and they're playing great ball. Christian Walker, my guest. Christian, really good to have you on the show. Appreciate that long-form conversation. Really well done by you, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. Also, I gotta show some love to an older Skip, man. Softball guy is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I go back to it a lot. About not hitting the cutoff and the $400 softball bat, man. That you absolutely nailed that. That's like one of my favorite skits.
My man, I appreciate that. That is so cool you to say that, Christian. Thank you very much, dude. I'm pretty proud of that one. I appreciate that. Softball guy. People go back to that. Softball guy, Christian Walker joining us. Softball guy is one of the all-time favorite jungle bits. Just go look it up if you haven't seen it or heard it, but that comes up. But it's not often that it comes up from a major leaguer or a major leaguer who won a couple of natties in college. Christian Walker joining us, shouting out to softball guy. It's the best. All right, when we come back, I've got one more segment for you. We are open until the top of the hour. What do you want to hit on? Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Today got a little crazy. We did not get a Smack-Off player profile in. But the Smack-Off date is not moving. It's still June 30th. It is still invite only. Get up in here. Get a golden ticket. I've got an endless supply. If you're good enough, come and get one. Here is your sports update. We'll be right back. So today's Tuesday, which means yesterday's Monday and tomorrow's Wednesday. And because tomorrow's Wednesday, we have a Jim Rome podcast, which we are going to push out. Matt Barnes is my guest tomorrow. Gautam Chopra was last week's guest, episode 269. He has done some amazing sports docs, and his latest Netflix doc is about Conor McGregor. We had a really interesting conversation about Conor McGregor and some of the other icons. I would advise you to check out that episode before the next one drops. You know, do it whenever you want, because they all hold up. I've got a collection, a library of 269 long-form, premium, free pods. Gautam Chopra, 269. A lot of content. A lot of free content. Good content. And we drop one every single week. Matt Barnes tomorrow. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matt in L.A. Matt, what's up, dude?
Man, smiggity. Hey, while I can appreciate fake accents, asking you to shout him out on your butter knife take and appreciate these yahoos calling in and self-glossing with idiotic, sophomoric names. You know, I want to remind the clones, it's the smack-off season. Step your game up. The pimp in the box is offering us the biggest platform in sports. I mean, guys like Jeff in Richmond, Redneck in Richmond, have parlayed this into a season on my 600-pound life. Guys like Lef in Laguna have parlayed this into Beats by Dre, headphones, you know, sponsorship. So let's get it going, clones. I mean, let's not waste Jimmy's time with all this nonsense. Once again, step your game up. That's all I got, Jimmy. Outro.
Appreciate you, Matt. So, Matt in L.A. has a golden ticket. Many of you are really pissed off with me today. Do I pander to you? Do I give you what you want? Do I schmacky Matt in L.A. and rip from him what he's holding on to? Hell no. He still has a golden ticket. He is still invited. And not because he sucked up to the host, but because he's right. It is smack-off season. Stop wasting my time with bad phone calls and trying to drag me into something and again telling me, you know me and you know what I would do. That's why you hate my guts. Now, make it better. Make a good phone call. Get a golden ticket. Put yourself in the running for $5,000 and immortality. All right, now, I've mentioned a number of times there are ways to be involved in the smack-off without actually being in the smack-off. Tommy, really quickly, we haven't done it yet today, let them know how to make their smack-off prediction video and where to send it and what they need to do.
Just need a 20 to 30-second video. Make your prediction. Send it to smackoffpicks@gmail.com, smackoffpicks@gmail.com. Keep it clean. This is to air on national television, so it has to be clean to air on national television. No drugs, no booze, no sex, no violence, no weapons, no, none of that dumb crap. Keep it clean, and you will see yourself on national television. Just make a prediction. It's that easy.
You've got that thing cold. Nailed it again. All right, that is one way to participate in and around the smack-off, even if you're not in the smack-off. Others have gotten very creative and tried to find a way to participate in smack-off season. As an example, Rob in Reno. Rob in Reno, I don't think that Rob thinks that this is going to get him in. Maybe he does. Or maybe he just loves the event and wants to celebrate the event and participate accordingly. But he has written another song that he submitted to us. Now, when you submit a song to the program, essentially then it's my right to do whatever I want with it. Burn it, play it, listen to it, throw it in the trash can. You know, once it comes to me, it's within my right. So, Rob, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the energy. I'll do you a solid. I will play your latest song. Rob in Reno knocked out this song for the show. Check it out. Anytime, Rob. Hey, Alvin, if I ask you to stop it, can you stop it and then start it?
First of all, Rob, extraordinary vocal tracks, dude. The name of that track is Post-Traumatic Clone Disorder. Back at it, Alvin.
Sounds like some weird kind of 90s English, you know, I don't even know what to compare it to. It sounds like these bands I used to hear in the late 80s, but just a really bad version thereof, like college radio stuff back in the 80s. Like he's got like really bad vocals. No offense, Rob. Like the vocals are terrible, but not funny terrible, just terrible. Go ahead, Albie. And the effects. Like he's Morrissey or something. Post-traumatic clone disorder. Like some kind of like new wave. Like I'd hear on the 90s throwback, new wave. Post-traumatic clone disorder. Dude, if anybody's got it, it's me, Rob. It's not you. You know what it's like? It's like Joy Division. Like, love will tear us apart. Go find that track. Like, love will tear us apart. Like, Joy Division. Like, Joy Division was classic. This brings me no joy. Just division. Long division. I'm trying to pick up the pieces too, Broham. Dude, why? I can tell you're putting in time. Rob, I know you're putting in time. I know you care. I'm not saying you're a hack. I know you love the show, dude. And I know you're concerned about the effect that the show has on me and others. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come up with a track called Post-Traumatic Clone Disorder. And I know that you want to be Morrissey, or you want to be the lead singer for what's left of New Order. But, dude, what's going on here? Wow, dude. I'm going to bump this at Logan's graduation party. I'm going to sneak this in on Saturday afternoon. They'll have their phone lights on. I'll have a bunch of cigarette lighters I'll be handing out. Brother, I don't know how to put this because I can tell that you're putting in time. It's just not time well spent. I'm not going to flip the lights twice. I'm just going to put that song on. That'll clear the house out. Post-traumatic clone disorder. Is that available on Apple Music? Is that part of my subscription? Actually, I've got it already. It's free for me. My guy, I don't know. Maybe you call it a day and wait till smack off 30 for your Let It Be. My man, I know that you're about the show and you're about the smack off, but I want to limit your work to one track a year. You're done for this year. Now you're done, dude.
Now I'm done.
That is Rob in Reno and his soon-to-be smash, the world premiere of Post-Traumatic Clone Disorder. My man, do not step your game up. I'm not challenging you to do better. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone, dude. I've got the whole album. I don't need to know the B-side. I don't want the EP. I don't want the extended dance mix. I'm good, bro. I'm good. For the ones who get it done, Granger is offering supplies. And I don't know when you're touring. I don't care. For the ones who get it done, Granger is offering supplies and solutions. I don't want to know about the merch. for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. My thanks to Jimmy Ward, Christian Walker. Have a great day. See you. We're out.